This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is the space to be. Welcome to Talk Therapy to Me.
Welcome back to Talk Therapy to Me with Ashley and
Maxie.
Hello.
Welcome back to our shows.
And we just want to start by saying something very exciting happened to us last week. Mm-hmm. So every week after we finish the show and we leave, I drive Maxie home because Maxie does not drive. And even though I have asked him many times to bring his L plate so we can practice.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I need to get my driver's license.
He still doesn't. So on that drive home, Maxie and I, we call my mum and we ask her what she thinks about the show because my mum's not the sort of person who's going to say, oh, it was really good, super proud of you guys, well done, if she didn't think that we did a good job. So usually she gives us some really honest feedback, which is good. She'll say, oh, you know, you could have done this differently, or this could have been done better, or I did like this part. But last week she had no notes.
Yeah, I knew. Your mum's like a project supervisor. I love her idea.
Yeah, she's like our project manager. But she had no notes. So you know, this is our second last episode, but I think that we are finally getting things right, maybe, hopefully.
We're getting somewhere. And I do ask my partner when I get home, and he used to he's still compliment Die Hard, which Die Hard will be right after us at 9 to 10 tonight. And I mean, yes, my partner always complaining about, complimenting, say how good Die Hard their show is. Like, oh, you could learn from them. They're so good. They're so, you know, professional. I was like, yeah, they are good. I really love their show. And just a quick reminder, Die Hard talked about disability last week. I listened to all of it. It's so good. And they're going to talk about identity and religion tonight. So if you want to curious about that topic, stay with Joy 94.9. You will hear them tonight at 9 to 10.
That's right, after us. And we did get a lot of comments about last week's show. One of them just said, Ashley and Maxie are wild, which, fair, we can be. But another person said, as a white Australian as well, it was really nice to hear about a different perspective that I wouldn't have otherwise been able to learn about, or I wouldn't have thought to seek out myself. So that's really, really nice when we hear things like that, because that's what we're sort of all about. You know, it's not just mental health, but it's also education and information, awareness, everything that we wanted to bring to that show.
Yeah.
So it's probably a good time to say, just a reminder that if you do want to contact us, you can call us on 1-300-569-949. You can email us at talktherapytome@joy.org.au during the week, or onair@joy.org.au during the show. You can DM us on Instagram, which is talktherapytome_joymedia. And you can always text us on 0427-569-949. So please, please, please keep messaging us, because we do love hearing from you. And if there's anything that you want us to read out, we absolutely can. And if there's anything you don't want us to read out, that's also fine. Don't hesitate to slide into our DMs either way, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to do this over and over again. Just a quick shout out for our content and trigger warning. Sometimes that we'll be touching on topics that are a bit darker than usual, but we will let you know at the start of each episode what our topics are for tonight. So you can decide if you want to listen or just finding comfortable and sit and relax. Our focus is on mental health, so there may be some things that might be hitting a bit too close to home and not really in a good way. There are links on Joy website, joy.org.au/support. There's always 000 for emergency, and there's other support available if you need them. We promise that it wouldn't be all like darker stuff, which we want, like the gothic stuff.
We're going to make it fun as well.
Absolutely. So tonight's topic that we're going to talk about, fun family, chosen family. So it's a very important topic for a queer community. But again, I want to just emphasize, it's not just for queer community. It's for all the people who, you know, might need a bit of extra love and support.
Absolutely. So a fun family is that family that you make. It's a group of people that choose each other, that show up for each other. Mm-hmm. They offer care, respect, acceptance. You're not connected by, you know, traditional family things like blood or marriage or paperwork. You're connected by your values, your trust, and your choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess a simple way maybe to explain it is it's a family built on choice, not obligation.
Yeah.
So what makes it feel like a family? You've got love as an action, checking in, listening, standing up for each other, supporting each other, voluntary commitment, people who stay with you because they choose to, because they want to, authenticity, and that feeling of belonging because of who you are, not because of anything else, and feeling that you don't have to mask, you don't have to explain, you don't have to shrink yourself. You can just unapologetically be you.
Yeah, I can just, it's a feeling of dropping off your defense, just like be who you are.
Yeah, just shedding that mask and letting you be you.
Yeah, and one of the part that's fun family sometimes can look like a close group of friends, or sometimes could be just like one or two very deeply safe people that are around you. Or mentor or older community members, like those queer elders, a mix of chosen people and supportive biological family as well. I think that's also could do.
Mm-hmm.
So within the fun family or chosen family, that's often include something like shared ritual, which I think that's absolutely important. Traditions, something, the jokes that only each other will understand, and it's like, and we all can laughing about it. Again, as what Ashley was mentioned, regular checking is so important. I think what we probably should also mention about why found family or chosen family, it's important for queer community. I think with what we've been, you know, hearing and researching, a lot of queer community experiencing like rejections.
Mm.
And putting mask on for sure, hiding themselves, hiding their identities, and conditional sort of love and support from their families. Yes. And sometimes pressure to changing, or we mentioned that, sometimes pressure to have like be a totally different person.
Yeah. And that pressure can come from, you know, from family, from society,
yeah,
from friends. It can come from anywhere and everywhere.
Or even just workplace, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the things about found family or chosen family, they can be about survival. It's not just providing some, you know, oh, they make me feel comfortable. Well, no, this is your chosen family make you feel like surviving and thriving. That's a pathway, go for it. A couch to sleep on, I like the metaphor. Sometimes just someone saying you're not broken.
Yeah.
You can be who you are, at, you know, with us in here, talk therapy to me. And sometimes it's a protection from isolation that we've been talking about. We have a previous episode talk about loneliness and how isolation sometimes might be very detrimental for the queer community mental health.
Absolutely. You know, isolation especially is one of those really, really big things that makes such an impact. And if you're already in a place where your mental health is not great and you are isolating, or you have been forced into a position of isolation,
mm-hmm.
there's nothing more detrimental. And if you miss that episode, you can listen to us on Spotify, which is quite exciting for us.
Yeah,
also Apple Music, I believe.
Yeah, I think so.
Also the website, but the website was always there. We're quite excited about the addition to Spotify. And I guess that we're sort of saying our key line would be that for many queer people, found family isn't just a, you know, something nice to have. It's often quite essential.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, there are things where we don't really realize how important this is unless we see the impact that it has on other people. For example, I have friends that do orphan Christmases.
Ooh, what's that?
Well, it's when people are sort of, like we were talking about last week, they're away from, you know, their family, their home, their friends, and they're here all by themselves.
Ooh.
And like my dad says, no one should be alone on Christmas. And that's such a true sentiment, because you shouldn't, you know, there's always someone who could use you reaching out to them, you know, if they're alone. And I think it's such a lovely idea that, you know, a group of people who are separated from their family can come together and have that sort of found family experience.
Yeah.
And really liked hearing about that because I cannot relate to that. You know, I've got huge family on both sides. So for me, it's about, you know, do I have any time at all to go between all these Christmas events? So it's really interesting to be able to hear of different experiences where that's not the case. And I think that's what we forget sometimes.
I love the idea of the often Christmas. That's so cool. And Ashley, thank you for sharing. And I think it's time for a quick song break.
I think so too. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Therapy to Me on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Talk Therapy to Me.
Hello, welcome back. That was What Was Made, What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish. You're listening to Talk Therapy to Me with Ashley and Maxie. We were just talking about the importance of making connection and found family. But there's something a lot of us might probably wondering. It's like where to go to meet your future found family, or how to find your future found family. And what if not every place that you might find your family, it's something that you can actually go, especially sometime for some mainstream queer space. Could be, there's a potential be loud, alcohol heavy, or performative that can also sometimes, you know, exclude neurodivergent folks.
Yeah.
And there are some places that are trying to do some sensory days market for different like time slots and to be very neuro-friendly affirming. So it's not really, it's not going to be sensory overloading for some neurodivergent queer, which is good. I love that ideas.
Yeah, there's definitely been an increase of these sort of sensory friendly, neuro-friendly sort of places. And I asked one of our colleagues, Amy, the other day about how she chooses places that are, you know, sensory friendly. And she had this whole list and, you know, it included things like looking it up online first, asking people who have been there before, calling ahead, asking how loud each section is, and asking if, you know, she can book the quieter section. And if you don't want to say that you have sensory issues, or if you have, you know, ASD, and often sensory issues comes with that, she said, you can just say that you're recovering from an ear surgery. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's so fantastic. That's, I mean, if you don't want to have to say, oh, this is why, what a great sort of, no one's going to question that. Everyone's going to be like, sure, we can accommodate that.
Yes.
And she said, you know, even if they don't have like an allocated quiet section, at least if you say that, then, you know, they won't sort of put you right next to the toilets or the kitchen or somewhere where there's a lot of foot traffic.
Mm-hmm.
She said, you know, if it's in the city, and then I know that I can't do anything else afterwards. Like that's all my spoons are being used for that. So yes. Take earphones, tell the house when she gets home that she needs to be left alone,
mm-hmm.
Get in the comfy clothes. And so she has this whole list of just going to, let's say, you know, a restaurant for dinner with mm-hmm. friends. And I can't imagine having to do so much planning and preparation just, you know, just to go out and have dinner with friends. I'm happy to be just told the address and a start time, preferably a start time that is half an hour earlier than the actual arrival time, so that when I'm late, I actually am not too late.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and that's just, that's as far as sort of I think about it. But I mean, what about you, Maxie? Because you're someone who does not drink.
Yeah, well, so sad. again, before that, I was like, I think it's a such good reminder for some people. Just going out for dinner isn't something that casual. It like what Ash saying, it sometimes take planning, energy, and a lot of self-advocacy. So a lot of neurodivergent people in the queer community, they you know, there's a quick suggestion. It's like quick tips. You can always go to the restaurant you often go. You find it safe. That's a safe place, and keep going there. And again, for me, it's different because I don't drink at all. I can drink something. I'm allergic to alcohol, which is very sad. But I don't think I'm allergic to sake or like any rice-based drinking, though. I mean, I do miss some. I miss out some fun, but on the upper side, on the bright side, I save a lot of money for sure.
And also for those of you listening, probably hearing that Maxie say, "Oh, I'm allergic to alcohol," but not these, you know, fancy Asian alcohols, you might be, you know, laughing or rolling your eyes. But we had a staff party and Maxie ordered just a nice cocktail.
Yeah, I remember that.
And did actually become quite visibly unwell. So I don't think, I think it, maybe not allergic, but yeah, it definitely doesn't agree with you at all. You did not look okay. I think I had to take one for the team and finish your drink for you.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I still remember that. Thank you. I think one of the things, a quick reminder, it's people who are, you know, chosen family, they don't push you around doing things that you, it's like, oh, that's okay. Totally understand your boundaries, and that's something that you are not okay with. That's fine.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're saying, look, I really don't like drinking, yeah, or I don't want to drink, your found family is not going to be like, no, you're doing a whole row of shots with us now.
Yeah. I mean, I probably can do another episode talk about how I get drunk and get kicked out by different clubs and bars because I sleep. And the security is like, man, you can't sleep here. I was like, okay, bye.
We do, I do awards at the end of the year, which is most likely two awards. Maxi wins most likely to fall asleep at work every year without fail.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, sometimes could just be like the food coma or something else. Anyway, go back to the topic. Basically, nowadays, I really love to spend time with my partners. Spending time with my partner at home, cooking for each other, watching something really familiar, just being comfortable. And I know people who aren't in a relationship, who might live alone, that might really look different. So what feels really important here, I just want to point it out, especially for those found family, in our found family episode, it's that found family, they adapt to you. Like what we were saying, they don't push you. The people who feel like family, they don't pressure you to drink, they don't make you explain yourself, they don't make you feel boring or difficult for having different needs. Yeah, and I think that's the heart of the chosen family, found family. It's not about fitting into someone else's version of fun. It's about creating a way of being together that actually works for the people who all involve. And creating a version of fun with a bunch of people who support you and love you as who you are.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that people tend to really underestimate how nice it is to just be able to hang out with someone with no expectations, no pressure. Like, you're just at your friend's house, your found family's house, and it could just be the two of you sitting on the couch doing your own thing, but you're just sharing that space.
Yeah, the parallel time, was it parallel space or something?
Parallel play, I think.
Parallel play, yeah, parallel play.
So for those who don't know, it's quite a common ADHD thing. Often people with ADHD find it easier to do things if they have someone there with them, like body doubling when they do things.
Yeah.
So thank you for sharing that, Maxie. That was really good. And I think that maybe it's time for another break. But you're listening to Talk Therapy to Me with Maxie and Ashley on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Talk Therapy to Me on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Talk Therapy to Me.
Welcome back. You are listening to Talk Therapy to Me with Maxie and Ashley. And that was All the Things She Said by Harrison.
Wait, I think I, you know, that ring me a bell. What was that song from?
Oh, you think that maybe you've heard the song before? Well, thank you for that segue into getting me to talk about my new favorite show, Heated Rivalry. Thank you so, so, so much for recommending it, Maxie. It is definitely my new favorite show. And I did not think that I would enjoy a show about hockey. Speaking of sports stuff, though, we did just get a message from Chris and Brendan, who do Gay FL.
Thank you.
And they said, amazing topic tonight and so important to our community. Thank you for being part of the Joy Chosen family and supporting us and allowing us to bring our authenticity.
Yeah,
I hope we were allowed to read that out. But anyway, speaking of sport, back to Heated Rivalry. I started it last week. I have binged it back to back twice. Last week alone, I'm completely obsessed. And I could talk about it for days, but there is one scene in particular I want to mention now.
Yeah.
No spoilers. So there is a character who asks another character if they like boys. And the first character just nods. And then the second character asks if they've ever told anyone that before. And they shake their head. And you can see this relief in their face. And that is what found family is all about. It's about finding people that you feel safe with, finding people that you can talk to about anything, maybe things you feel like you can't talk to your own family about. So found family is so important for everyone. but especially when you are questioning your sexuality, because questioning your sexuality is hard enough. And then you have to add on, how will my friends react? How will my family react? How will society react? And Maxi, maybe you can share your experience about what that was like for you growing up in China.
Well, thank you for asking me. And I would just say how surprised I was when I recommended that show to you, right? Literally like 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And then literally last week you messaged me. I think when we talk about what we're going to talk about next week. Anyway, you messaged me. You're like, I'm going to watching the fourth time of The Heated Right. I was like, already.
Well, I've watched it like start to finish twice. And then I've watched a couple of episodes several times.
Yeah. One of my mentor, also my chosen family, shout out for her, love her. She also messaged me, I think, a couple of days ago, say, oh, Maxi, I'm going to watch The Heated Rivalry. I think it was fourth time as well. I was like, well, okay, cool. I probably should do my second time around through, which is, yeah. Anyway, thank you for the question about the how I felt like when I was growing up in China. Anyway, the thing really stayed with me, and what you were saying was relief when someone realized it's safe to say something out loud, that it's exactly why Heated Rivalry really hitting the emotional part of me. It's like, oh, kind of whingy, got those doggy star eyes. I was like, I'm going to cry. Without giving anything away, I'm not gonna talk about stories, but there is ongoing, I think it was a scene that with one of the character where he talked about his home country and being openly queer, that isn't just uncomfortable, it's actually quite dangerous to, you know, to coming out, can get into serious trouble. So even when he was with another character, someone he felt connected, he still has to stay low-key, still have to be really careful, like not letting other people around him to see who he's talking to, or sort of thing, using fake names on the phone. I was like, classic.
Yeah, there's a part where he says, you know, my brother is police, my dad is police.
Yeah, I remember
I'd never be able to go home.
Yeah, that really, yeah, that hit my nerves. Not say I can't go back to China, but it's just like, oh, you know, sometimes like the family of origin, you worry so much about they don't accepting as who you are, then they might rejecting you. For me, so back to my story, thank you. Grew up in China, it's something wasn't really too much people saying, constantly shouting out, this is wrong, this is, you know. But I think my family probably does a little bit, keep telling me like, oh, don't be gay. I was like, why? They're just like, don't be gay. I was like, okay, that's so random. It was more, yeah, I think it's more about like the queerness being silenced, was named. And when something that isn't named, you learn being quieter, it's safer. It's like,
yeah,
just stay silent, stay quiet, you'll be safe. You wouldn't be alienated, you wouldn't be like bullied or picked up on. So I carry those silence with me, even in relationship, that even in the relationship feel loving, even with people I trust, it's always part of me probably doing like a risk assessment, or not just me, but many other people who coming from a different cultural background as a queer, identify themselves as a queer, they might have constant question. And actually this is the quite a lot of what we've been asked, that when we're doing the question collection for like, what was the thing that you worry about as a, you know, like we talked about international queerness and identity last episode. And one of the common asked question is like, is it safe to telling people here? Can I be seen? Can I be accepted here? Would I be discriminated against it? Would I be judged for being openly as a queer person? And I think this is back to what our show is about. This is why the found family and chosen family so important, especially for people from countries or cultures where being visible can cost the safety. Yeah, and it's not about just being found family. Sometimes not about being closeness. Yeah, absolutely. But it's about gradually lowering my guard that I can finally feel safe and trust. It's like, this is who I am,
yeah,
and thank you for accepting who I am. But yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Maxi. Really, that's amazing. And you know, you're absolutely right, it is about that feeling of safety. And you know, it's often something that I think a lot of people don't think about. You know, if you feel safe in your country, you assume that other people would feel safe in theirs. So I'm glad that we do have this platform to sort of share that awareness and everything. And I'm going to switch up the mood a little bit and go back to talking about heated rivalry. Just so we can end
Well, I'm not sure if this is spoil things, but for people who haven't watched it, it's a happy ending. So please go enjoy.
Yes, just everyone watch it, okay? But, I was talking about it at work the other day when you were downstairs in the clinic and I was upstairs talking to the girls who had also watched it. And we started talking about, you know, why do so many women love this show? Like, why are women absolutely obsessed with it?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's a show about gay hockey players. So why are women obsessed with it? Maxie, do you know why?
I actually don't know, but why? Telling me why.
So according to research, because obviously everything we say is evidence-based, researched, the reason that women love it so much is because subconsciously it makes them feel safe. See how we're tying safety back into heated rivalry and connection, and it's an excuse for us to talk about heated rivalry, but it makes women feel safe. So watching boys kiss boys means that we as women are not in any danger and we can relax. And that's actually really sad if you think about it, because it's really evident of how women do feel that they need to be on guard and do feel that they are, you know, not safe. But I think what is also really, really beautiful is you see a show about gay hockey players and it has been so well received by straight men in particular. Sort of reminds me of when, you know, Robert Irwin won Dancing with the Stars and there was just this uproar of positive masculinity and straight men taking to the internet and just talking about what a top bloke he is and not feeling like they would get any negative responses to, you know, making these sorts of comments online. Everyone's just agreeing. And, you know, that really does give me hope that we are becoming a safer community, safer society for all. Because, you know, that's just going to make it so much easier for people to find their chosen family if they do feel safer in general.
Yeah, the safety, it's always the basic, the building block for the first steps for finding, you know, whoever that you feel comfortable in, chosen family. That's the first steps. Thank you, Ashley, for telling me the scientific reason behind it. And I think it's perfect time to throw us some.
All right, we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Therapy to Me on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Talk Therapy to Me.
Welcome back. That was Where the Streets Have No Name by U2. And you are listening to Talk Therapy to Me with Ashley and Maxie. And we were just talking about found family and mainly heated rivalry.
Heated rivalry. can I say there's a very interesting comment that I was really laughing after reading it. So there was a comment somewhere that I saw say, after watching Heated Rivalry, my period's coming back.
Was this by an older woman who'd gone through menopause?
Probably.
Definitely. We can't recommend enough, but let's try and not talk about it for the rest of the episode. We're just going to focus
about found family.
On found family.
Yes.
All right. And not just found family, but how these connections combat the profound isolation that can come with being different. You know, found family gives you a mirror that reflects back not just who you are, but who you can be. Loved, successful, joyful. And it provides queer lineage, a connection to history and resilience that, you know, maybe you can't get from your biological line. And let's be real. Building this found family, it's not always easy. It requires vulnerability.
Yeah.
This means reaching out, you know, maybe to a community group, maybe being the one to try and organize the coffee hangout or daring to be the first one to share something real.
Yeah.
And you know, how do we nurture these connections and how do we find these connections? So you could start with some LGBTQIA plus book clubs.
Ooh, I love book clubs.
We all love book clubs.
Yes.
Sports leagues. Oh, see, now we're going to talk about heated rivalry. Okay. Cutting it off. Support groups, you know, friendship apps, where you can like find friends, Facebook groups, even if it's like local Facebook groups, volunteer opportunities, organizations, There are often mentorship programs available, mm-hmm. any sort of shared activity that builds that foundation. So start small, share a bit of your story, ask gentle, deeper questions, because found family is built brick by brick through mutual trust, you know. And maybe if you're more confident or you've sort of got something starting to be a little bit established, you can be the one that invites other people into that group, you know. You can be the one to create the weekly dinner and remember the birthdays and mm-hmm. be that anchor for someone else.
Yeah. Talk about that. I remember someone that I know, actually a few person that I know, they started a non-for-profit and gathering so many, I think one it's gathering so many like a gay Asian community member. So another one is they gathering so many international students. She's like, but for that person, she's so lovely. Shout out for Manol. She's like a sweet mama role. It's like, oh, sweet mama all the time. Then I met her, like she always cooks so well and feed all the volunteers that she had and look after people so well and look after all the people who were involved in advocating for those students. It's like, I was like, oh, wow. That's one day we're going to invite her on the show, talk about her stories and maybe, the project that we're doing.
Maybe invite me for dinner as well.
I'll do that.
She's a good cook. But I think there's nothing as intimate as, you know, sharing food mm-hmm. with the people that you love.
Yes. And I think found family, it's not about something. It's not a fairy tale. It has a conflict and needs communication. The difference is it's everyone there by choice, by you there by your choice, which can inspire so many activity and respectful works to maintain the bonding with each other.
That's right. And, you know, just a quick word for allies and for biological family members listening, you know, the existence of a found family, it's not a replacement of you.
It is a not.
Definitely not. And it's also not exclusive to the queer community either. Mm-hmm. And we have said this a couple of times through the episode because, you know, especially if you listened in last week, we talked about being away from home or away from culture. So really, found family is about connection more than anything.
Yes.
And, you know, my mom is my best friend, my dad is my hero, and I would take a bullet for my brothers, but that doesn't mean that I don't also need a found family. Mm-hmm. You know, I have a found family as well. And so the best thing that you can do to support your queer loved ones in finding these communities, if they ever reach out to you, is support them.
Yes.
You know, the best way you can support them is to support them. You know, I'm here for you. I am here to support you, whatever you need.
Yeah.
I'm getting tongue-tied.
You do.
And I guess the reason for this is, at the end of the day, you know, mental health, it isn't just managed in a therapist's office.
Yeah.
That's vital as well, obviously. We're saying that. We're a little bit biased, but it is fortified, you know, in the spaces where we do feel held and hurt. And for so many in the queer community, that fortress is built not of stone, but of those chosen bonds. You know, those inside jokes that we were talking about before, spare keys and, you know, that sort of deep, quiet knowing that says you're not alone. Your chosen people are here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ashley, for sharing about that. We do have a few questions, but because of the time, we might just bring, so one of the segment or our common segment, it's about ask a queer counselor that we are often receiving some DMs or messages from emails or Instagram, people asking me, oh, this question. So there are a few anonymous questions that we will read them, but I think tonight we can only do one. So I'll just read it out, Ash. So one of the questions is like, I hear people talking about found family all the time, but I don't feel like I have one. Everyone else seems to already have their groups. Do I miss something or am I doing it wrong?
And I guess, you know, this is a very common feeling, you know, and sometimes you would think that social media should make us feel more connected than ever, and it sometimes makes it feel so much worse. So mm-hmm. found family doesn't usually arrive in a group. Mm-hmm. Like we're saying, you know, it starts small, sometimes really small. It could just be one person who feels a bit safer than the rest.
Yep.
And there's no deadline, you know, there's no level that you're meant to reach. If mm-hmm. you're still looking, it doesn't mean that you've failed. It just means that you're still in the building phase.
Yeah, just for adding into that, it's like I think one of the main question that I can reflecting on is like, what is a found family means to you? What do they fulfilling, like what need do they fulfilling for you? And what do you need? And yeah, I think that's, thank you, Ashley, for answering that question. I think we'll do another song, quick song breaks.
Do a quick song break and then we'll be right back.
You're listening to Talk Therapy to Me on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Talk Therapy to Me.
Welcome back. That was Ain't Nobody by Chaka Khan. And you are listening to Talk Therapy to Me with Ashley and Maxi. Can you believe a whole hour has already gone? Before we leave you, though, just a quick reminder that if anything during this episode was triggering for you, then there are supports available at joy.org.au/supports.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening. I'm going to quickly throw in one affirmation before we cut out.
Sure.
Because it doesn't suck.
Okay.
We build our sanctuary not with walls, but with inside jokes, stocked favorite snacks, and the unspoken rule that you can always come over. Maxi, do you want to quickly throw one in?
Okay, I have one. It's like, found family smells like comfort, not shame. It's a far analogy that I thought. Anyway, thank you for listening. We hope you're coming back next week. And you know where to find us. Same time, same place. Which is when our last episode. And don't forget to, you can always slide DM into Talk Therapy to Me _JoyMedia. And yes.
Yes.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.